Barbara, have you seen the mail from Greg Wood?
I have. I think that we'll have to discuss that the same way we did this morning with adding additional scope to the description of work. I think it falls well within the scope, but we just need to formally, you know, include it. Convening the first call as the staff manager, and then our first duty is to elect a chair so that I don't have to chair the meeting. We're waiting for Kiyoshi Tsuru, who is the daughter IP. Sarah Day, Deutsch from the business constituency, and Greg Ruth from the ISPs, and Vittorio Bertolo from ALAC. Okay, why don't we give it a few more minutes to.
Where are these? Kiyoshi. Coming from Gwen, Japan.
Pardon, Kiyoshi?
Yeah. Where is he located?
Oh, he's located in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And he's on your side of the world.
Okay. Yeah, he may actually be traveling in Europe, though. I think he's getting married very soon, and I believe he's getting married in Spain, and he may be over.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I would like to give it a minute to see if someone from the business users or the ISP constituency can join us.
Yes, because I got a message from Marilyn a few minutes ago asking me for the number and saying that she was on. Just a minute. He will nominate. This is for task force. One, okay, that's not our business now. Marilyn has been,
Who is that? Who just joined?
Hello, it's Vittorio.
Hey, Vittorio, welcome. We're waiting another moment to see if anyone from the business users or the ISP constituency can join us.
Okay.
Why don't we go ahead and convene the call, and we'll hope that one of the other constituencies can join in during the call.
Gwen, can I ask you to do a roll call?
Certainly.
Oh, actually, just for people who don't know me, I'm Barbara Roseman, and I'm the staff manager supporting the PDP work right now. And so I'm just convening the call as the first call of the first meeting of the task force. So go ahead, Gwen.
Brian Dalbu?
Yes, present.
Freddie Willings?
Also present.
Greg Ruth? Yes. Ken Stats?
I'm here, Gwen.
Yes, thank you.
May I ask a favor? Would you indicate what constituency people are representing as well? I apologize for the first two.
Fine. Brian Dalbu is from the IP constituency. Franny Williams is from the non-commercial constituency. You are representing the GTLDs, Ken Stapps. Sarah Deutsch, we haven't heard on the call. Kiyoshi, no. Vittorio Bertolo is representing the ALEC.
Yes, here I am.
Thank you. Terry Clark?
Present.
And you're representing the intellectual property, the IP. And Ross Rader, representing the registrars.
And I am here as well.
So we have, with Barbara, six on the call.
Yeah, but we only have three constituencies and two liaisons.
We don't have ISP representative and we don't have business.
Oh, so we have four, okay. The first order of business is to elect a chair of the task force, and we did not receive any nominations on the mailing list. I'd like to solicit nominations at this time from among the participants.
Barbara?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Ken Stubbs. I'd like to ask Glenn again. Glenn, we have three constituencies, the ALAC, and who else represented so far on the call?
We have got GTLDs by, represented by yourself. We've got non-commercials represented by Franny Wellings. We've got registrars represented by Ross Rader. And we've got the IP constituency represented by Brian Dalville and Terry Clark. And we've got the ALEC presented by Vittorio Bertolo.
The only reason I mention that is I would almost rather defer electing the chair until we get more constituencies on the call. If we can't get them on towards the end of the call, I would say go ahead. But it would seem to me that it would be a good idea to get
okay, I'm willing to chair for a bit longer while we discuss some of the basic issues. And in fact, I should point out, not that I'm looking for the job, but you are able to elect a chair who is not from the constituencies if you wish to. And so that's another option to consider. But personally, I'd rather that you have somebody from the constituencies or one of the liaisons act as the chair, because I think it makes it a little more coherent for you all.
Sorry, may I just give you an email from Marilyn Kay, who has said that she is trying to get Ross to be nominated for the for the chair of the...
It's Marilyn Kay.
Oh, hello, Marilyn. Good. You can do your own nomination.
What? actually, Marilyn Kent has asked if we could wait to see if we can be joined by all the constituencies to do an election for chair.
Mm-hmm.
And so why don't we move on to some of the other, I'll chair for the moment, and I think I can bring up some of the issues that came up in our first call this morning for Task Force 2, and we can sort of get some of those issues out on the table And
one more question, Barbara.
Sure,
Marilyn,
Ken.
Are you sitting in for Sarah today?
I will be an alternate to Sarah. Ken and I will be added officially as a second person by Glenn in the next few days. But
fine.
Sarah should be joining shortly. I'm surprised she's not already on. So why don't I at least raise some of the issues that came up this morning so we can get those out into the open and people can be thinking about them before we, you know, decide what actions we have to take on them. The first request this morning, there were a couple of requests for work from me. The first one was to get an opinion from ICANN's general counsel on the voting rights of different participants in the task force, whether the liaison, in particular the liaisons, have full voting rights with the constituency representatives. And that's something that came up in particular on the on task force 2, but I think it applies across the board to all the task forces, and we should probably just get a general opinion about that.
Barbara, just a clarification. When you're talking about this morning, you're talking about the other task force calls?
Yes, Task Force 2 met this morning a few hours ago.
Gotcha.
And about 6 hours ago, actually. And we discussed certain issues that seem to be pretty basic to how the task forces are going to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to lay some of those issues out for you guys. Task Force 1 will be meeting tomorrow for the first time. So it's just you guys are going first, and then they'll meet tomorrow before the GNSO call.
Barbara, it's Marilyn. And, you know, since the call, there is a clarification that there are two questions. One of them is, should a task force decide to add outside experts, which they can do in the role of experts, it ought to be pretty clear that those folks as experts do not have voting rights. That would be, you know, let's say that hypothetically you guys decided to appoint my mother, God love you, please don't. But the second question which came up had to do really with the issue that one of the nominating committee appointees had asked to join a task force. And so it's not clear, and you should actually ask about Amadeo's voting, because that is a different category than the sort of the random expert category.
Right. I think, we basically have three categories of people, or four categories of people. We have people directly from the constituencies. We have the people who are liaisons from other advisory committees. We have the nominating committee appointees. And then we have potential outside experts who might participate. To just get clarification on who has a vote, who doesn't have a vote, and what kinds of participation we're actually saying is participation. So I'll be getting that from John Jeffrey probably today, and we should have an opinion about that to publish shortly. Another task that was given to me was to work on the actual dates for fulfilling the task force, if it was to follow the PDP according to the PDP guidelines with certain numbers of days for certain tasks. And I've done some rough numbers on this with taking a lot of liberty to start a task on Monday. You know, if you had a five-day period to work on a task, I tried to not start it on a Friday to give people time to actually work on things. And that basically carries us through to if we met every deadline to March 19th. So it's a pretty compressed time frame, even when you allow for not working weekends. I'll actually be putting something out to all of the task forces with these dates, but I just wanted to give you a sense right now of where things start.
Yes. I have to be frank and tell you I'm a little uncomfortable with that deadline. And the reason basically is that for the last 5 years, it would seem to me that especially the last 2 weeks, essentially a wash. You end up with people who are traveling. It doesn't matter what part of the world. It just boils down to the fact that from about the 15th of December through the Monday after New Year's, I don't know when New Year's is, the Thursday again, it's very, very difficult to get constructive participation. And I'm just wondering whether or not it would make sense to try to, let's say, extend this through from March 19th until, let's say, the first week in April. It would seem to me if it ends on March 19th, it's clear that it's not going to have, we wouldn't be in a position to do anything with it at the meeting in Rome anyway, unless you're assuming that that includes the formal submission to the council.
Yeah, it included all of that. Let me explain what the reason that I was requested to come up with a specific timeline that included dates of when certain things were due was to allow people to see where they might need to have extensions, and that's why I'll send out for each of the tasks what would be the starting and the finishing dates if we were to follow the PDP strictly.
When did you expect to publish that, Barbara?
I think I'm going to have it ready today. I have to go over it with a couple people just to make sure that my dates are correct, that I've worked out the timeline properly.
Right.
But other than that, it's completed, and it will be ready to go today. So everyone will have a chance to sort of look at that and figure out where they think extensions of work would be needed. And so I don't want to just extend at the back end. I think we actually need, it would be much more fruitful to pay attention to where the most work is needed, most time of meeting is needed, and ask for extensions around those dates. And that will inevitably push back the final date, but it does it in a more, it does it in a manner that's more consistent with getting work done. So Ken, your point is well taken. I think that everyone understands that it's going to be difficult to pack significant work into this next four-week period, and so the trick is to just sort of figure out how that affects the different task forces, in different ways. Let's see. Another issue that came up on this morning's call was that we would like, it would be useful if everyone could submit a statement of their affiliations or interests that are associated with this PDP, the outcomes of this PDP. For instance, if there's a conflict of interest, or if you are, obviously the registries and the registrars are sort of directly affected by the outcome, and that this would be included in the publications of our work so that people could see who was involved in developing the policy proposal.
I have a quick comment on that. Could you put me in the queue, Barbara, and tell me someone else did?
Well, I was just going to ask Marilyn if she wanted to elaborate on that, because it was a point that we had some discussion on this morning.
Sure, I'm happy to elaborate on it. I think the point is that many of us know each other, and we think that we know what someone's affiliation is, or who their employer is, or who their consultant is. But that's not what this is about. This is about a record that is available to all and which is important to do just for integrity's sake. For instance, I will be making a statement myself, and I think that the purpose of it will be just to have it to include in the material that is posted on the website. There will be times when somebody may decide that they have a material conflict and would need to, set aside some of vote or abstain or something of that nature, but I think that's yet to be determined.
Hi, this is Sarah Deutsch joining.
Hi, Sarah. This is Barbara Roseman chairing the call for the moment.
Great. Sorry I'm late, you all.
It's okay.
So if that helps to clarify, it's Marilyn. Sarah, just explaining what the purpose of the statement was.
Great.
And Ken, did you want to speak to that
as
well?
I'm not trying to be contrary, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with publishing a biography or a short CD or statement of affiliation for each one of the members, but please excuse me, we're representing a constituency on the task force, and it would seem to me that the most important thing here is to make sure that the people who are members of the task force are legitimately, how do I put it, credentialed to the task force by the constituency. With respect to what they do, it would seem to me that as long as they have legitimate credentials from the constituency, there should be no reason for a member of the task force to have to go for what you're talking about. I mean, for all intents and purposes, regardless of the conflicts of interest, they're not representing the views of their company or the or any entity in which they have a financial interest in. They're supposed to be representing the views of the constituency. So I would go along with the biography, but a statement of conflict doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense.
Actually, Ken, it isn't. I do respectfully disagree. I think that people sometimes do have conflicts of interest, and that in the spirit of cooperation, that it's important to just disclose them. We've never, at ICANN, you know, we've barely excluded people from either participation or even, ICANN has a very liberal interpretation of conflict of interest, as you know.
Yeah, I think what we were discussing, the way that this came up this morning was that we actually had two participants on the task force who were directors of PIR, and it was entirely coincidental. They had no recognition ahead of time that they were both going to be on the task force, and so they wanted to get that acknowledged. And it did raise the question of, you know, just asking people to state their associations or affiliations that where there might be a direct bearing on that business having to do with with the work of the committee. I'm actually not sure what the
I guess my comments have nothing to do with specific individuals or even the constituency from this standpoint, because I wasn't aware of what you were talking about. It would seem to me, though, that as long as the members of the task force are outlined, number one, and number two, it would seem to me that the members from PIR who are involved in the task force are still representing the registry constituency, as I'm sure there's a possibility that, as Marilyn has indicated, she and Sarah will be kind of both involved representing the business constituency. So it would seem to me that the most important thing is, both of those entities that they work for also have interests and concerns in intellectual property, in connectivity, ISPs, and so forth, but their obligation, as I would understand it, is to represent their constituency's perspective on this task force. So I'm not going to say any more about it. I just am somewhat surprised that there would be a requirement for it's almost, a statement of interest. It to me implies a concern that at some point in time somebody might be conflicted out. And I don't know how you could conflict a person out when that person is a representative for a constituency's perspective. You'd be conflicting the entire constituency out.
Right.
You know, but on that note, Ken, it's not something that's entirely without precedent. For instance, if you look at the Names Council, those representatives are representatives of the constituency, but the bylaws are very specific that certain conflicts should not exist, and those people would be conflicted out in those conditions. So, you know, I completely hear what you're saying, but, I don't think that there's any harm in providing those statements.
Yeah, hi, this is Brian Darville. I just wanted to reiterate what Ken had said. I mean, I agree with those comments wholeheartedly. I'm the IPC rep here. And I guess I would have a lot of questions as to how this is going to play out in practice. I'm on here as the rep of the IPC. I'm a lawyer in private practice with a law firm that has, you know, well over 10,000 clients. What kind of conflict check are you envisioning running, and exactly would that be carried out? It just seems beyond knowing that I'm a lawyer in private practice designated as a representative of the IPC to do trademark and copyright work on behalf of intellectual property owners, you need more than that? What kind of information would you be looking for?
Barbara, can I just speak to this? Because we do have precedent to it, and I think we're blowing it up really bigger than it needs to be blown up. So why don't we suggest that, and as I said, I'm on here as an alternate. It's not my intent to speak with Sarah's on in relation to substance, but in this question of process, I will speak wearing my counsel hat. We have dealt with this in counsel. Perhaps the thing to do is just sort of go back and come up with a very short and succinct email that explains what a statement of conflict of interest might look like. It is intended to be very simple and not exclusionary.
Yeah, if I can interrupt for a minute, that's what I was going to suggest. Is I think let me craft something that I will send out to the task forces, and I think it will solicit the kind of information that we think is appropriate to make available to public readers of our final conclusions, and at the same time reflect the basic representational nature of what people's roles are on these task forces. Does that seem appropriate?
Yeah. I apologize. I wasn't trying to blow it all up out of proportion.
No, I think we had...
When people make a comment or when there is some sort of an allusion to the fact that somebody may in the future be conflicted out in a vote, I would like to say that there are going to be clearly situations and have been in the past where I have voted in a manner that was different than my own personal feelings, but my principal obligation is to represent my constituents' views, and as long as you know that I'm a director of this company or that company, as part of a biography, would not expect to be conflicted out at any point.
I don't think that was the intention of soliciting this information. I think the intention, as Marilyn put it before, was to make clear to public readers of our results, you know, who was involved in producing the result, and no more nor less than that. And I think if situations arise where people perceive a conflict of interest, then it'll just have to be dealt with at that time. I you know, personally don't anticipate that happening, but who knows, right? So I think that it wasn't intended to act as a means of providing material to exclude people from participation. It was really meant to provide data to outsiders who might read our conclusions.
Hi, Greg Ruth joining.
Hey, Greg. And need to have some understanding of who were the people who actually prepared the report. So I think biographical is more to the point. Okay, so we covered a couple of things already for those who joined the call a little later. We've covered the fact that I'm going to distribute a timeline of what would be involved if we were to follow the PDP as it currently exists, that you're going to get an opinion from General Counsel on the voting rights and participatory rights of various different kinds of members of the task force, and that I'm going to send an email that will solicit a certain amount of biographical and interest information to be appended to our public reports that merely gives people information on who compiled the report. I would like, now that we have all of the constituencies who are represented on the task force, we have members from each of them here, I'd like to again open the question of electing a chair, and would at this time like to solicit nominations from the task force.
Anyone?
I'd like to nominate two people, if I could. I'd like to nominate Sarah Deutsch, and I'd also like to nominate Brian Darville. The thought that if, for one reason or another, whoever is elected, maybe the backup person, there's always possibility that we may run into a circumstance where the chair may not be available for a specific meeting, and this way we have a backup. That's just my thought.
All right, let me ask Sarah, would you be willing to serve as chair?
I would. I don't know that I'd necessarily be the best person to do it.
Okay, and is there a second for the nomination of Sarah?
I'll second that. This is Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
And
go ahead. Who was that, Ken?
But you're going to take nominations.
Oh, I'm going to continue to take nominations. I just want to go through this one by one, because that way if somebody doesn't want to be nominated, we can just exclude them from the vote. Brian, would you be willing to serve as chair?
Yeah, I suppose I would.
Okay, and is there a second for Brian's nomination?
This is Sarah. I will second Brian. Thank you.
Sarah.
Okay, and now, are there additional nominations?
I'd like to nominate Ross Rader.
And that's Sarah?
Yes.
Ross, would you be willing to serve as chair?
I'll that in the same terms that Sarah did.
Okay. And
thanks,
is
sir.
There a second for Ross's nomination?
Yeah, this is Ken Stubbs. I'd second Ross's nomination.
Okay. Are there any other nominations at this time? Okay, hearing no further nominations, I'm going to close the nominations. And we have three candidates, Sarah Deutsch, Brian Darville, and Ross Rader. Glenn, I'd like to solicit your opinion on how we should conduct this vote, just as a roll call, or
I think we can, if everybody is in agreement, couldn't we do it on the call now?
Yes, that's what I'm asking. Is would a roll call vote be appropriate?
Shall I ask the members on the call if they are prepared to do a roll call vote?
Yeah, please.
Barbara, before you do that, it's Marilyn, can I just ask a question? Have you had a chance to, have the people who've been nominated, have you had a chance to explain to everyone what the role of chair is?
No.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, okay. Chair for the task force. Hang on just a moment. I have to actually pull up the web page.
While you're pulling up the web page, I might make a suggestion here. It would appear that none of the three people who were nominated are, let's put it this way, incredibly enthusiastic about this, number one. Number two, because there are three people, it may be somewhat uncomfortable for someone to have to vote publicly a preference without giving, first of all, the three people the opportunity to reflect on situation, and number two, giving the people on the task force, see, I don't know, for instance, I'm assuming it's one constituency, one vote, but I don't know, and, you know, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot here. That's why I was thinking about possibly, Marilyn had an excellent concept. She and Tony co-chaired a task force, and there were circumstances where clearly there was a need for a backup. I think Marilyn had a family issue on one or two occasions, and Tony stepped into the breach and did a marvelous job. And that was the only reason I was trying to come up with a concept that would give us the opportunity to make sure we had continuity
mm-hmm.
there. It's
No, that does make sense.
I'm not trying to make this thing more complex.
No, I respect your concerns, Ken. I also am a little uncomfortable with the fact that we have three nominees and people will be just voting straight out without any time for reflection at all, or even for the people who have been nominated to reflect on whether they really want to do it. So let me think about that part of it for just a moment. But
With the proper voting system, if you like.
Yeah, let me just think about the situation for a moment to come up with some ideas about that. But let me, in the meantime, let you know what the responsibilities of the task force chair. Basically, it's that the chair shall be responsible for organizing the activities of the task force, including compiling the task force report. The chair of a task force need not be a member of the council. Now, that's the limit of what is stated in the PDP, in the bylaws. For this particular task force, the description of work is fairly extensive, and the tasks and milestones, just to go over them very briefly, might give you some sense of what's going to be involved for all the participants, but for the chair in particular. The tasks and milestones for Task Force 3 are to collect information on the current techniques that registrars use to verify that the data collected is correct. And for example, this means looking at techniques to detect typing errors by registrants, and to survey approaches used by CCTLDs to verify that the contact data collected is correct. The second one is to collect publicly available information on the techniques used by other online service providers to verify that the data collected is correct, as well as information on the price of services offered by online service providers. So I think the idea there is to see how other sectors of the internet economy are doing this kind of work. Create a best practices document for improving data verification based on the information collected that can be applied on a global basis. Determine whether any changes are required in the contracts to specify what data verification is necessary at time of collection to improve accuracy. And to determine what verification mechanisms can be used cost effectively to combat the deliberate provision of false information, and determine whether additional mechanisms are necessary to provide traceability of registrants or provide more timely responses for misuse of domain names associated with deliberately false information. So there's a fair amount of data collection involved here and a fair amount of assessing that data once collected, trying to provide it in a useful report that people can judge across the board how different techniques are used and how effective they are. You will have staff support for this, and how much of the work gets assigned to staff is something that is negotiated during the work of the task force. But it is something that the chair will have to be involved in terms of making sure that things are moving in a timely fashion, even if we do extend the time frame of the PDP. So why don't the three nominees think about that for a moment while I think about how we want to conduct an election.
And just to clarify, how often are we going to be doing calls? And
My impression is that in the beginning, it's likely to be a couple of calls once a week for 2 weeks. We'll call, we'll meet, we'll outline what the work is that needs to be done during the next time period. And then I think there's going to be an amount of time where people are going to go off and do work. And then once the information starts coming back, where we actually have things to data to look at and to examine, that's when I think we're going to have to start meeting again in a more regular fashion. So I think there's a certain amount of this that sort of builds in some accounting for the fact that we're going on holiday shortly. I'm not going on holiday, so if I'm your staff support or whoever is your staff support, I can, we will be continuing to work here. And So I think that there's a way in which we can coordinate this so that the holidays don't disrupt the meetings of the task force as much as might have been anticipated.
But Barbara, it, even if you're not going on holiday, the people that may need to be contacted for data gathering
correct.
Are going to be on holiday.
Correct, and that we are going to have to work that in. I'm just saying that I think there's a little bit of there's a couple of weeks of work at the beginning to outline the tasks for everybody, and then there's a sort of fallow period, and then it gets busy again. That if that helps Sarah to understand how I think it's going to work.
Okay. If it helps, Tim, you've been on task forces before, so has Ross. I think most task forces have had to meet weekly in the past.
Certainly meeting weekly allows you to stay more on top of where things stand, you know, and sort of identifying areas where additional help might be needed or, you know, pressure brought to bear.
Sometimes it's easier to meet on a weekly basis because it doesn't become an endurance contest that way. It's
yep.
a lot easier quite often to take 45 minutes or an hour out of a week.
Great.
Try to squeeze 2 or 3 hours into a conference call. Invariably, you get conflicts there. And as the tenure of most conference calls seem to go, the last half of the conference call tends to be very substantive. And quite often, people end up dropping off at times that
yeah, the key moments
get somewhat frustrating. Maybe that's just my observation. Marilyn may or may not agree there.
I guess, go ahead.
The only thing I would say is if you also believe, and Barbara hasn't had a chance to address this yet, but I know Barbara probably are, a good amount of the data gathering is going to almost be overlapping with the other task forces. So there may be a way to have, like if you were to have a briefing, there may be a way to do the briefing with all the task forces together, if it's with the same group or something, as a way to shortcut some of the time demands. But
yeah, I think we're going to have to just see how that plays out. Certainly the data that has to be gathered across the task forces should be coordinated. And the suggestion was made during the Task Force 2 meeting that the chairs of the task forces speak with each other on a regular basis to make sure that nothing's getting overlooked, but also that we're not duplicating efforts too much. And so that, you know, part of the reason why you're getting one staff person to coordinate this is so that at least on our side, things are not going we're not going to have two different people working on the same issues at the same time. You know, you'll have one person coordinating things, contacts with the registrars, for instance, or gathering information from particular groups. Well, I'm still, I have to say, unsure of the best method for holding this vote. I guess I would like to ask the three candidates, the three nominees, Sarah, Brian, and Ross, if they would like to reconsider their position in light of what's been outlined as the task, as the chair responsibilities.
And this is Sarah. I have to say I'm having a few doubts just because I have a very, very busy travel schedule, and with a weekly call, I'm just afraid I'm not going to, you know, I will try to join the call as best I can, but to be the chair really requires someone that knows they're going to be around for the next couple of months pretty consistently.
Okay, so would you like to withdraw your nomination at this time?
Yes.
Okay. So that leaves us with Brian and Ross. Would either of you like to reconsider? I'm not pressuring anyone else. I want everyone to be realistic about what they're, you know, what they're taking on.
No, I'm happy to proceed, Barbara. Just on the point of the votes, I'm also happy to vote verbally on this call.
Okay.
I can't talk for anybody else, but for the sake of expediency.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Brian Darvill. I agree with both of those points. I'm happy to proceed, and a world vote would be
okay,
fine.
Then I think we should go ahead and do that. Glenn, can I ask you to do a roll call vote, please?
Yes, certainly. Shall we have the votes first for Brian Darvill? Okay, that's basically it.
Okay. Glenn, but it's fair, but just a point of order on that. Each constituency does only have one vote, I think. Historically, that's the way we've worked on things like this, so you would not include me in that case. Sarah would cast the vote for these.
Fine. And as far as the IP constituency is concerned, Terry's on the call. Would he have the first say?
No, this is Terry. Brian would cast that vote for the IPC.
Fine.
I guess I'll have to somewhat shamelessly vote for myself.
Yeah, I was going
to... You'll have to abstain for yourself, Brian.
No. I'm going to ask that Brian and Ross not abstain, because I think it will just be too small a vote otherwise. We only have 7 participants, and so I think we need to go with all the votes.
All right, let's start. Brian, are you voting for Brian Darville?
Okay, and who's the first to vote?
Brian Darville himself.
Okay, Brian.
Brian?
I'll go ahead and vote for myself.
Fine. Franny Willings?
I'd like to vote for Ross.
For Ross. Greg Ruth?
I'm going to vote for Brian.
Jim Stubbs?
I'm going to vote for Brian.
Sarah Deitch?
Brian.
Kiyoshi's not, no, that's Victoria.
Ross.
And Ross yourself.
Yes, please.
Yourself, good. We've got 3 votes for Ross, and we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 for Brian. The 4 for Brian being from himself, Greg Ruth, Ken Stubb, Sarah Dutch. And the votes for Ross being Ross himself, Victoria, and Franny Wellings. Is that correct, everybody? Can we be heard?
I'm not sure. I can hear you, but I'm not sure if anyone else can hear us.
Oh.
This is Terry. I can hear you, but there is quite a bit of interference.
Yeah. Okay. I think if we can accept this vote, that Brian has been elected as chair. And Brian, if you would, I'd like to pass the meeting over to you for the remainder of the call, which I think we can wrap up pretty quickly.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I guess maybe the thing to do at this point would be to go ahead and I could use a little time offline to get organized, but why don't we set up to get a preference on the frequency of the calls. I kind of like the idea the one call per week. Would like to do that. I do think it makes it a little bit more manageable of getting people on the call and keeping it to less than an hour. Folks' thoughts on that issue?
I think that seems reasonable. So this is Barbara. I would suggest that we at least go ahead and schedule a call for next week, and if people have concerns about doing it on a weekly basis, that we pick a time now that people think they can attend on a weekly basis, and that if there are issues, that next week we address them.
Sounds good. What's a good day for everybody? Do people like Monday afternoon? Is that the time for this call? Or is there a better time during the week that most people would prefer?
Glenn, what time did we schedule next week's task force to call?
11:30. Next week, too, is at 11:30 Eastern time.
On Monday?
On Monday, yes.
Okay, so 11:30 Eastern time to about, let's say, 12:30 Eastern time is blocked out already.
Yes.
I can't do that on a weekly basis.
Okay.
I unfortunately have a 12 o'clock meeting on most Mondays.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying is we cannot use that time because that time is already committed to another task force. So it would have to be a different time anyway. So.
Okay. Great.
So
2 o'clock Monday is probably the worst time for me, but I don't want to be the pin in the haystack that people are trying to work around.
Well, it also, I will suggest, doesn't have to be on Monday.
What about Wednesdays? Is there a time on Wednesday that works for everybody? Wednesday afternoon, Eastern time?
Do you have Europe involved? If you do, you need to, you realize it's 6 hours.
We do have members from Europe on this call.
On this call, we have just one, Victoria. Oh, wait, but we have got, no, it's Victoria.
Do you have Asia Pacific?
No.
No, there's no one from AP on this.
You don't have your Barbara. Yeah, Barbara, you don't have your CC liaisons accounted for yet, and I know you're getting them.
That's yeah, correct. We do not have those accounted for.
No, we don't have those.
I think we should account for Europe in the scheduling. I think that. There are a number of times that are good for people across the U.S. and Europe, and since we do not at this time have to consider the AP region, that we should be able to come up with a time.
Right. Well, you want to just pick a morning time then that would work with that schedule? Maybe 10 a.m. one morning, like Wednesday morning?
Okay, 10 a.m. Wednesday Eastern time. We're doing Eastern time as our standard.
10 a.m. Eastern time would make it for Europe about 4 p.m.
Do you think that would be an acceptable time, Glenn?
I think so. Victoria, how does that suit you? Yes?
It's fine for me. I mean, obviously it's better in your morning because it's afternoon here.
Yes.
So I'd say no later than 2 p.m. Eastern time. But if it's in the morning, it's better.
Okay.
Should we shoot for Wednesdays? Does that work with everybody's schedule?
That works great for me, Brian. Thanks.
That's Brian. That's fine with me.
Right, why don't we do that? Set the next call for the 10th.
For Wednesday, 10th. Fine. I'll send out the notices and announcements.
Right. And I guess we could do that. Why don't we set it for December 10th? And in the meantime, we'll get the schedule from Barbara as to the follow all the PDP deadline that
right.
It would be, and then we can look at that. Maybe you know one of the agenda items for the next call will be where do we feel we need additional time, and the extent of whatever extensions we might seek, and we can deal with that issue on the call, and then start dividing up some of the tasks in terms of gathering the information. And I'll try to do a short agenda in advance. And can I get that to you, Barbara, so you can circulate that to everybody, or should I just...
Yeah.
You get it to me, I think it's easier than... Don't you think so, Barbara?
Yes, I think if you could get it to Glenn, she's very good at distributing and keeping track of that information.
Okay. And Glenn, do I have your email address, or...?
I'll send it to you. It's quite easy. It's a GNSS secretary, but I'll send it to you, Brian.
Okay. Well, I'm sure I do have that then. Okay.
Okay. Brian, if I could have just one more... moment for some information that came out of this morning's call, the Task Force 2 call. Other things that were requested of the staff for the first substantive call was an assessment of what staff thinks are going to be the data gathering process and timeframes for doing the data gathering, and some sense of how much staff support is going to be available for the task force. And so those are two more items that I will provide for this task force as well.
Okay, that would be great. That's information you're going to provide to us, Barbara?
That's correct.
Okay, that would be great. That would be very helpful. That's, you know, looking at the information that we need to gather is... the Task Force 3 description of work. Like we will need a fair amount of staff support for this task force. So.
Yeah, I'm actually having a meeting on this Wednesday with Paul and Kurt Pritz to discuss staff support for all the task forces.
Okay.
and okay. for the other PDP that's going to be initiated, presumably starting tomorrow.
All right, that sounds good. And is there anything else we need to take care of on this call, or can we adjourn and meet again on December 10?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Most of the work that you need to have done is coming from me, and as long as we have already scheduled the next meeting, then I think we're pretty set.
Yeah, Barbara, I guess it's Marilyn. I'm going to weigh in with something that you may be a bit reluctant to state, but I will take it on, and you can comment on it. I think people need to be very realistic about the fact that there's not going to be a large amount of, that there are a lot of conflicts. And for those of you who aren't on council, there are three who is task forces, and there is a registry work initiative, and shortly after the beginning of the year, there will be a new GTLD initiative. So one of the things to just expect is there will have to be a continued expectation for a fair amount of work from all of us. And some of you have been on task forces before, and you already know that. But, Barbara and Glenn are going to be very, very booked because the council work goes on at the same time the task force work goes on. And I just want to speak in support of both of them, because otherwise they need themselves coming and going. Right, Ken? I think we did that to them once before.
Yeah, I think I appreciate that, Marilyn. I think we, what I will try, as I say, to give an assessment of what kind of data gathering needs to take place and what some appropriate time frames might be. And I think at that time we can probably see if there's things that would be best coordinated by staff or that can be handled within the task force itself.
Okay, maybe that's something you could give us information on the next call.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, Brian, it's good to have you as chair.
Wasn't quite expecting that, but I'll certainly be devoted to the task, and we'll get organized before the next call. I'll try to send around an agenda, get it to Glenn, and she can circulate it, and then we can take it from there.
Sounds good.
Okay, so that'll be Wednesday, December 10, then, at 10 a.m. Eastern, and presumably, Barbara, you're going to...
You should have some materials from me in the meantime.
Get those materials, and then I take it you all will continue to set the calls up for us. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. Okay. All right. Sounds good. I guess we'll talk in about 10 days.
All right. Say bye-bye. Okay.
Thanks, folks.
Bye. Thank you.
Barbara?